Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Tom Withers, in for Andy Baskin today.
Can I give you that Hall of Fame trivia question on the air that I just gave you?
So
I
was this is big timer right here.
I was telling Jeff that on Sunday I was covering the Cavs Celtics, and before the game, Kenny Atkinson and I are both former Long Island high school basketball players. Obviously, he played at a much higher level than I did, but every once in a while we'll kick around just talking Long Island high school sports. Anyway, after the pregame interview, I said to Kenny, "Hey, I got a Long Island basketball trivia question for you. Who has the highest scoring average in Long Island high school basketball history?" And he pondered for a minute. He guessed Kenny Wood, which was the name of a high school kid. Then I told him, "Hey, there's a Cleveland connection." So Kenny Atkinson,
you dropped a little hint.
I dropped a hint on him, and Kenny Atkinson came up with Wally Zerbiak, who played at Cold Spring Harbor. Real good guess.
That's a really good guess.
And I've told you guys the answer, and it's a Cleveland connection. And the answer is Jim Brown, and you may have heard of him.
Wow.
Jim Brown averaged 38 points per game for Manhasset in 1955.
38.
And I'm guessing most of them came in the paint. Especially since especially since there was
The basket.
No,
I have the ball.
Yeah.
I think I'll get there.
Much like he was in lacrosse. Give me the ball and watch people fall out of the way.
That's funny.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's a really great one. I'm going to share a story I told you in the break. Years ago, and you know, Jim, until the day he died,
was Jim
Brown. I mean, and you know, there are very few people. Tom, you've worked in this business forever. I have too. That when you met them or talked to them, gave you pause.
Commanded attention.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I sure do.
And Jim was one of those very few. And we were doing a 60th anniversary of the Cleveland Browns show. And I'm hosting this thing. And we were taping segments. And it went on for like a week. And we set up in the locker room, one of the locker rooms down at the stadium. And this with a new stadium. And Jim was one of the guys that we had as a guest, and he came onto the set. And, you know, so it was real casual because you're taping segments. So it wasn't like a show, but we're taping these segments. And Jim wasn't walking real well at the time, you know, and he had the leg issues from, you know, obviously years of abuse playing sports. And so he got onto the set, and he's using his cane and everything else. And we get done, and there were a couple of steps you had to climb up or down. And we got done, and Jim's making his way over to the steps, and I can see he's hesitating a little bit. And in my mind, I'm like, this is Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Do I even dare offer to help him here a little bit? Because he's hesitating enough that I could, you know, you can see, you know what's going on.
Where's Gene Hickerson when you need him?
Exactly right. Can we bring in John Morrow or Dick Shafrath, please? And another guy, one of our tech guys, we kind of look at each other and we went, yep, let's go for it. And I said, hey, Jim, can we help you here? And he goes, yeah. He said, a couple of big, strong guys to help me down the steps. Thanks.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, he kind of grabbed onto us. And I said, Jim, we all know if you wanted to, you could just go ahead and beat the crap out of both of us right now. And he said, because he knew, I knew, and I don't know how old he was. He was in his 70s,
yeah.
But he's still Jim Brown. He's still ripped.
Great memory to hold on to,
it was,
right?
It was really cool.
That's awesome.
I thought it was really cool. I mentioned before the break, our NBA team, Tom, is not off to a 15-0 start this year. And you said?
That's good.
It is good, isn't it?
Thank goodness. Yeah.
Last year's start was so fun, but it set a tone for the season, Jeff, that I don't know that they ever got out of, and I think it might have hurt them eventually.
It was actually counterproductive, wasn't it? Because the streak kind of...
In essence, it kind of was.
The streak took on a life of its own, right? And then it raised expectations to an almost unfair, unrealistic level, right?
And it sure seemed to.
Yeah, and I mean,
it was championship or bust.
Yeah, to a degree. And it was positive from the standpoint that you have a scoreboard because you want to outscore the other team and win the game, right? Yeah. But it really, it turned into something that probably was almost, again, unfair, unrealistic for that team as to where they were. It also, though, allowed Kenny Atkinson to have a nice kind of entree into Cleveland sports, if you will, right?
He got, I'm Kenny.
Hey, I'm the undefeated coach.
And we think you're a god. Thank you.
Where have you been in the last 5 years, right? So, yeah. You know, it's interesting. Over the weekend, you know, the Atlanta loss was bad, I thought, on Friday night. But by the same token... Yeah. Pretty good Atlanta team. When you look at the young players that they have, Jeff, and I know you watch them, that team's got some talent. And they were without Trae Young, and they still, you know, they can fire it up. Now, and we can dig into this a little bit deeper as to what the problems are with the Cavs right now. But then over the weekend, so they lose on Friday night. I had some people approach me on Saturday saying, what is going on with the Cavs? And my response was, it's November. Relax, right? But then they go out Sunday night and they lose to a Boston team that is missing as many parts as anybody, right?
No Jason Tatum. They traded Porzingis. I mean, it's a different team with different names.
They're coming off a Saturday night game in Minnesota, right?
And Peyton Pritchard lights you up for 42.
For 42. And some other guys that I didn't even know played for the Celtics had big games, right? Yep. Career-defining games. So that was a bad loss. I covered the game. After the game, Jeff, it was interesting, and I mentioned this to you off the air. Donovan Mitchell, who always talks to the media, chose not to that night. And I caught him sitting in the corner locker where he is, scrolling on his phone, and then just kind of staring into the distance with a clear attitude, like, how did that just happen to us? I thought the way the game unfolded down the final minutes... I mean, he came up with a couple big shots to get them back into the game, right? Darius Garland hit a big three as well. The fact that Evan Mobley took the last shot of that game that night to me
and Donovan inbounded
was alarming.
That was weird.
Now, it was good from the standpoint that I'm glad they've changed having Evan as the inbounds guy, which they did last year, which he struggled with.
Yeah.
If you remember, there were a lot of situations where they barely got the ball inbounds because Evan was not finding or wasn't comfortable in that role, right? So I'm glad that changed.
But Tom, you got 0.7 seconds left. Who do you want taking that shot?
Thank you. It's got to be number 45.
Sure.
So then Jalen Tyson comes out after the game and made some really strong comments about we're not hungry enough. This team has a lot of talent, but talent alone doesn't win an NBA championship. You know, we got some dudes here. We're just not playing the way we need to play, and we got to fix it, and we got to fix it now. Then they went out last night, and they played a nice game against a Pacer team that is
decimated,
held together with scotch tape at this point.
They're 4-17.
But there are some troubling signs. So what bothers you about what you've seen out of the Cavs here through 22 games?
I hate to just revert to this, but right now, until this changes, I don't think we can get a really good feel for it. They've played 22 games. They have only three guys who have played in 20 or more games.
Exactly.
That's it. And to me, I can't say it's troubling. It's just kind of the way it is. You know what I mean?
And they're not the only team that's dealing with that as well, right?
Right. Yeah. Darius Garland's played in 7 games.
Right.
And Darius is one heck of a basketball player. DeAndre Hunter has played 18 games. All right, so he's missed 4. Jared Allen has played in 15 games. Sam Merrill's played in 12. It's that, Tom. It's that most every game, Kenny's got a different bunch out there. Not necessarily starting bunch, but oftentimes. But he's got different guys, and nobody's been able to settle into a role yet and a complete rotation yet. Now, that said, it's given a couple of guys a chance to make an impression.
That's your silver lining. You're right.
Jalen Tyson, I said last year, I like the look of his game.
I do too.
And I think he could end up being a difference maker. And Tyrese Proctor, you don't expect second round picks to do much of anything in the NBA. That's just the way the NBA is. You know, it's like fourth, fifth, sixth round picks in the NFL. Okay, you get one, congratulations. Proctor looks like he can play.
I like Tyrese Proctor.
Yeah. He looks like he can play.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, how Kenny manages this when he does have a healthy roster, because clearly there are guys you want to see.
Good problem to have.
Well, it is.
Right? And
it
is. We've talked about this before, Jeff. NBA titles are not necessarily won by the team with the strongest 1 through 5.
No. Nope.
It's the teams with the nice bench, the 6 through 10 guys that you got to lean on when somebody gets hurt in the playoffs.
And somebody will.
And somebody will. Somebody gets into foul trouble, yeah. Right? Somebody's having an off night. You got to be able to turn to those guys. So I think that's...
You need a different option from what you have on the floor. And you got to change it up.
Look at the Pacers last year. That's what they did, right? That's what they rode. They got the hot hand and they had a bench that was coming through for them on a night-to-night basis. So I think that is the silver lining here, is that you've seen these young guys put in tough spots and are having to develop. Tomlin, another guy who we didn't even know about at the beginning of the season, has given them some pretty good minutes,
and
right?
He's playing 17 minutes a game.
Yeah.
A guy that when they signed him, I said, I like that. We haven't seen enough of him yet, I don't think. Thomas Bryant. Thomas has been around the NBA a long time. He's a good big man. It's nice that they went out and added depth, big man depth.
I agree with
you. And Tomlin's there, too. So that helps.
And Brian also brings you an energy. He's got some other intangibles that you like to have in that kind of a player. And now with Larry Nance being out, I think you're going to see a lot more Thomas Bryant here, at least in the near distant future. So, yeah, you know, it's not been great. You know, the East is wide open, Jeff. You know,
it's wide open. But Tom, is that more scary?
Yeah. It is to me, too.
I think so, too.
And I tell you what, the two teams that I told people to keep a close eye on before this season began, only because people were like, Indiana's out of the way.
The Cavs have it.
The Cavs are in the back. Detroit and Orlando were the two teams that I thought were the outliers, because they have young, hungry players, and they've seemed to be on an ascension, much like the Cleveland team over the last 3 or 4 years, right?
J.B. Bickerstaff has the Pistons at 17-4, and Cade Cunningham's playing like an MVP.
They got some dudes.
Oh, they really do.
That team has got some players.
They do.
Yeah, I like.
And I give JB credit. They're doing a really nice job up there. I like Orlando's roster.
I do too.
They have length.
And I think Jalen Suggs is back.
I think he is too.
People forgot that he had missed all of last year, which is an important piece for them.
When Orlando can roll out three guys who play big minutes, who are like 6'9", 6'10". And can handle the ball.
If you don't have an answer for it,
you're done.
Yeah.
And see, that, Tom, is where, you know, if I'm the Cavs, that's where I'm still wondering, do I have the right mix here? And I think Proctor can help a little bit with that. He's not 6'9 or 6'10, but he can help a little bit.
Yeah.
And Jalen Tyson might be able to help a little with that.
To be determined. And I think it's interesting that, to your point, and this has got to be tough on the staff, though, is having to mix and match these parts on an almost daily basis, right? Because you don't know who's available.
Who do we have today?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go with them, yeah.
And it's one thing this year that Morse, it just feels this way this year. It probably isn't, Tom, but it feels this way to me more and more. Guys are sitting out like crazy all around the NBA. And the cost of going to watch a game, the cost now of subscribing to everywhere where you need to have a subscription to watch a game.
Yeah, it's still probably... It's on a whole, it's still probably a cheaper night out, though, for your average fan, right? But to your point, and the Cavs have already been fined, right? Didn't they get nailed with a $100,000 fine?
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's
nothing for
that's
them.
That's cab fare.
Sure.
I get all that. But to your point, you're right, Jeff. You look at that injury report, and you just look around the league on a night-to-night basis. Load management, rest. So-and-so is coming off surgery. By the way, we didn't mention him, and I still think it was a nice acquisition, was Lonzo Ball. I think Lonzo Ball is going to be a big help for this team going forward this season.
If he's healthy. And that's one thing. We'd love to get your thoughts on the Cavs. I have some thoughts on Lonzo and Larry Nance. And the guy who I still think is the absolute key to the whole thing, they're coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Tom Weathers in for Andy today. You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now, it's even better. You can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube. How about that? It includes The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima from 6 to 10 a.m., Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin, 2 to 7. That's why they get dressed up every day. And every weekday on 92.3 The Fan on the YouTube channel. Go watch those guys. Subscribe to our channel for free. You can watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan, live and on demand. You can do that right now. I'm Jeff Phelps. I'm a partner today. Tom Withers in for Andy Baskin. And we're talking Cavs basketball. There's one big thing that we want to discuss, but before we get to that, you mentioned Lonzo Ball. Mm. When Lonzo was signed, I said, he is the perfect addition to the Cavs' backcourt. Perfect. Big, tall guy, strong guy, can shoot the three, is pass first, and can defend like crazy out on the wing. He's 6'6", he can defend.
That length, right? Yeah.
The only thing is, his knees, there's a tape dispenser in front of me. His knees are put together with scotch tape and body parts from others. If he can stay healthy, Tom, God, what a help he's going to be all season.
Jeff, as a former coach, not at a very high level, but high enough, I appreciate all the little things that he does that don't show up in the box score, right? Like you said.
He knows how to play the game.
Especially defensively, like the little hedge,
without question.
Whatever it might be. Deflected balls, all those kinds of things that you don't necessarily, point out after the game unless you are a coach.
Yep.
And I like everything about him. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
The one aspect along with that, Larry Nance is the same kind of player.
I agree.
The only problem is
health.
Larry and Lonzo have the same issue.
I know.
And those are, Tom, if we get to the playoffs, there are 9 guys that I want to play. And those guys are 2 of them. I mean, Larry Nance and Lonzo Ball should be rotation players in the playoffs, and they got to be healthy to get there.
Well, which is why you're going to see them sitting out here.
Sitting out. What we hate is what we're going to see.
Take a look at our laundry list of guys that are sitting on the bench tonight, folks. I know it's hard. It's hard.
Yep.
And then when you hear like a guy like Michael Jordan recently say, "Load management, what the hell was that?"
Well, it's why it might be one of the reasons that Michael's career was short and then came back.
By today's standards, right? Yeah. Fair point.
Jeff's in University Heights, and Jeff wants to bring up what Tom and I were going to bring up next. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, good afternoon, my namesake, and good afternoon, Mr. Withers,
yes,
or
sir.
Coach Withers now.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm off today because the schools are closed, but... So before I get to one Evan Mobley, I just want to say this. The Cavs' attitude this season has been head-scratching to me. In fact, as it was widely reported, after Sunday's game loss to the Celtics, who, by the way, are coming off of back-to-back, who, by the way, don't have Tatum, Porzingis is in Atlanta, Horford's in Golden State, and Jrue Holiday's in Portland. And, Derek White didn't play either, but I digress. After that game, it was reported that one Jalen Tyson, second-year player, by the way, was the one who, for lack of a better term, dressed down the team regarding their attitude, and that's why they came out like they did last night.
Tom just went over all that and the things he said, Jeff. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so that's amazing to me that it took a second-year player and – Here's my thing, Jeff. There's a lot I want to say, but I know we're under time, so I'll make it concise.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Evan Mobley, who we were told is a unicorn. That's what we were told. Is not a unicorn. Unicorn is Victor Wembanyama. Unicorn is Kristaps Porzingis when he's healthy. Granted, that's not often, but when he is healthy. Evan Mobley... there was once a description of Fred Lynn back in the 70s by a baseball scout that said he's a laid-back Californian, not mentally tough. And to me, that's how I see Evan Mobley, which I'm disappointed because I was on the Evan Mobley bandwagon. And if the Cavs are going to go as Evan Mobley goes, we're not going very far unless I see an attitude change with him. There's no way... That game last week, if Rula they were playing, when he only had 7 points and 5 rebounds and only took 7 shots the whole game. Now, part of that was on Kenny, but part of that is go get the ball off the glass on the offensive boards, Evan, and demand to Kenny to get me the doggone ball that game where you had only him and Donovan out there. And it says too many lackadaisical.
In Toronto, was it? Toronto game?
Yeah, it was. That's
yeah,
who it was.
5 of 7,
too many
yeah,
lackadaisical, laid back type of efforts that just really grate on me as a fan. And I'm really kind of disappointed with Evan Mobley. I'm starting to sour on him, and I don't want to do that, but I'm very disappointed in him. I'll just say that.
All right, Jeff, thank you for the phone call.
You know what, Jed, some really astute points there by Jeff, and I think he gets to the heart of how a lot of people feel about Evan. I think there's still some disappointment mixed with the potential, right, Jeff, that he can yeah, still be kind of an offensive force. I mean, there's no denying he's an extraordinary defensive player, but I think this team needs a more assertive, a more physical, and Evan Mobley with a little nasty streak, and I'm not sure he's got it in him. I'm not sure that's the way he's wired. And before,
he's a really nice guy.
He's a great kid.
And sometimes that can work against you.
And before I kick it back over to you, I want to address the Tyson Donovan Mitchell situation in that locker room. It almost felt like the other night that Donovan was sitting back, giving the floor to Jalen Tyson to get out the word that we are not satisfied as a team to where we stand. So I think in turn, he kind of empowered him to be the spokesman that night. And I think when Donovan was hearing it, because he was just sitting 20 feet away, I think when Donovan heard what Jalen was saying, had something to do with Donovan not talking, because he was like, I can't say any more perfectly than that kid's saying right now. And I think that's okay to hear from a second-year player. I think that's okay, especially in a night where, listen, they're all scrambling to make a plane. They had to get out of there. Jeff, you've been in that situation, right? Sometimes that's just...
It's down and dirty and you get out.
And I think Jalen Tyson, I like the fact that it's not necessarily a leadership role, but listen, we heard this from the GM last year. They got a lot of quiet guys on this team.
Yeah.
Still do, right? And it's nice to hear a young player step forward and have kind of the temerity to feel like I can do this, and I can say how we all feel. So I thought that was good.
The one thing about Evan, and Tom, I've said this since he's been here, when he is the number one or at least 1A option on this team, I think they're going to be so difficult to beat. But And there's more to it than numbers, and there's more to it than just the stats involved. But I do think the stats tell you something here. And when Evan came into the league, his first year, he averaged 15 points a game and 8.3 rebounds. He's not averaged more than 1 point.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One rebound a game, more than that in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
In other words, his rebounding hasn't really gone up.
Right.
He's still rebounding 8 or 9 rebounds a game. And his scoring has topped out right now, his highest scoring average is 18.9. Well, that's about 4 points a game higher than his rookie year. the jump that I think all of us would love to see from Evan is a jump to 23 to 24 points a game and to 12 rebounds a game. Now, that's tough. Those are Hall of Fame numbers.
Yeah.
But when you came into the league as a, what, 20-year-old, and you're averaging 15 and 8 and a half? I mean,
and now it's just slightly better than that.
It's better than that.
But you got to also think about the way the team is constructed, right?
Without question.
Right? With
Donovan's here now. Donovan wasn't here his rookie year.
Yeah. That's got a lot to do with it.
Does Evan have to go out and just say, hey, give me the ball? Does he have to set up in the low block, demand it? Does he have to add aggressiveness to his game? I think yes, to be honest.
I do too.
At some point, it's not just on the guards to get him the ball. It's on him to get the ball and do something with it. Set up. Make yourself available. Go for it. Be the aggressive guy. Because, Tom, when we've seen him do that,
yeah,
gosh, is he good.
He's got to get that message from number 45 as well, right? He's got to be given the green light by the best player on the team to go ahead and do those kinds of things.
Does he?
Because of the way the kid that Evan Mobley is, I think he does.
In other words, he needs a kick in the...
Yeah, because I don't think he's hardwired that way, Jeff. I'm not saying that he's soft or anything like that. I think there's enough physicality out of Evan Mobley, and I think there's another level.
He's the defensive player of the year last year.
He was.
You're not the defensive player of the year by just blocking shots.
No, you've
got to be physical.
And he has gotten stronger. We've seen his physical growth, right?
Yeah.
I think what frustrates people is that, and we talked about this off the air, Evan Mobley gets the ball 12 feet from the basket. Instead of sometimes dropping his shoulder and getting himself into the lane and powering up to the basket, he'll dribble out 15 feet and take a jumper. Or he'll settle for that three that you kind of cringe at, right? Like, he's gotten better. His outside shot has gotten better.
But the coaching staff wants him to spread that game and take that three.
I get that.
I hate that.
But they also want him to... but to Jeff's point before, they also want to see him put it up on the glass and go get it and dunk it again. He had a couple of those moments the other night against Boston, right? Yeah. Put back dunks, you know, moments where he asserted himself. Got to see more of it.
And Tom?
Go ahead.
It's only going to be more vital for him to do that when Darius plays regularly. That's what we've not seen when those two guards are together, and they're both great basketball players.
But
they set a different tone for the team when they're both out there and they're both taking 15 to 20 shots a game.
I agree with you. There's also a different tone set for the team when Jared Allen or any center is out there with Evan, right?
Yeah.
Changes the entire spacing of the floor and changes his responsibilities or where he's going to get touches on the floor and do some things that we want to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mark's in Cleveland. Hey, Mark, welcome.
Thank you, fellas. Look, man, now it's like, what the excuse now? You haven't had Darius out there, so you haven't had those two ball-dominant guards. You haven't had Jared out there, so you haven't had the big guy clogging up the middle. This guy's had an opportunity to shine right now. He's touching the ball 13 more times per game since Darius isn't in. And he's only shooting it one more time per game. You know, it's like, it's time for him. Donovan has been giving him the green light. He's been saying we want him more involved. He need to do this. The guy doesn't have it in him. I think he done reached the ceiling. I mean, he's the defensive player of the year. He's going to be in that conversation every year. And you think this guy's going to go out there and put 25 points up, 23 points? That's a lot to ask from Evan. He's doing a great job for mine. I just think the ceiling has been placed too high for him, expectations.
I think, Mark, you make a great point. I think, are we asking too much of this kid, Jeff? Is it too much to ask for him to take this game to another level? Does he have another level? I don't either.
I don't know, but I do know this. When you see guys with his physical skills and basketball skills, man, you set that bar pretty high. And, you know, I don't want to compare him to Giannis. I'll say this. Giannis is a freak of nature. That's the name. But look where he's taken his game. And that's what I mean by this. It's not a comparison of players.
Yeah.
But it's a look what this guy did with his game. And that's what I would love to see Evan do if he's capable of doing it. And Tom, this year, next year, I think Mark's right about that. Has he hit his ceiling? Man, I hope not.
I hope not either.
But the answer might be maybe.
It makes you wonder. I know.
The answer might be maybe.
I feel the same way as the last two callers. I mean, there's a lot there, but there still seems to be a lot more there, and we're not seeing it. I do think, though, Jeff, I think we've seen a better Evan under Kenny, right? We've seen moments where he's grabbed the rebound and he's taken the ball up the floor, which you want him to do.
And Tom, even if let's say Mark's right, let's say he's hit his ceiling. All right, you still have a big man on the floor who can run like crazy and average 18 and 9, and that's pretty dang good.
And protect the rim.
Yep. 216-474-0092. Your thoughts on where the Cavs sit now and what this roster is looking like, because there are a lot of really nice pieces on this roster if they can make them all fit. As always, you can listen to our show. You can listen to all of our local shows here on The Fan on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. We're talking Cavs, and in particular, we're talking Evan Mobley. And I love the guy. I'd love to see him elevate his game even more. If he ends up being a guy who can average 17 to 19 points a game and get you 9 rebounds or so, okay, that's great. That probably won't get him in the Hall of Fame, but by golly, it'll get him in the Hall of Really Good and might even get his number in the rafters at the arena.
Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't think there's any question there, but I just wonder. I think the time has come for him to be the guy to help make that happen and not just coaching and not just the other guys getting him the basketball time.
I hope he knows it.
I hope he does.
You know what I mean? I'm sure he's getting that reinforcement.
Games, those games where he has taken it upon himself, like, hey, this guy's out, this guy out, most of the time, that's when he has a monster night.
Yeah, and I wondered the other night, and I thought it was, we've mentioned this earlier, I thought it was really interesting that Donovan Mitchell did not take the final shot against Boston.
You had an interesting theory break with him.
And the theory was just that maybe it was one of those moments where Kenny thought, you know what? This is a time for Evan Mobley to stand, you know, to show us what he's got. Now, I didn't like the fact that they had to settle for, you know, a contested jumper from 24 feet. That's not exactly what you want there. And he came up short on a 3-point try. But, I thought it was strange that Donovan Mitchell was not the one taking that shot. But maybe that was a moment where Kenny and or Donovan thought, you know what? Maybe let's see what Evan can do here.
Maybe
there was a long-term plan in that. I don't know. But
interesting.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Jeff. I mean, you know, you can't poo-poo 18 and 9 a night, right? That's the smallest of guys that can do that.
That's big-time stuff.
Yeah, that is big-time stuff.
I'm wondering, can he become one of those absolute upper echelon NBA players?
And for this team to get to where it wants to go, he has to be, unless, and let's not forget, there's a trading deadline that will be approaching in February, where I'm sure his name is going, depending on how he's playing, his name is going to continue to be mentioned amongst those guys that could be on the move. I'm not saying that the Cavs are shopping him.
How can you move him?
Well, you could move him for a nice piece in return, which would be a guy you mentioned a little bit earlier who managed to take his game to another level. I find it fascinating
on a team owned by somebody who owns the Cleveland Browns.
I find it fascinating to consider that could be in play. I'm not saying it is, but it's like it's something that's out there.
Remember, this is the silly league that trades superstar players all the time.
More so now than ever.
More so now than ever. Cool Ray's in Bedford. Cool Ray, welcome, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man? How you feeling today?
Very well.
Happy holidays. It's time to talk to you, you know, before Christmas, you and your family.
Thank you, sir, and to you.
So my thing with the Cavs, you know, I'm really critical of all our teams because I want them to be great. But with Mobley, you know, I know Kenny Atkins is what he, you know, I can't really understand. Maybe, could we see some type of rift between Mobley and Donovan Mitchell, because we know Atkins wants to make Mobley the star, but we know who the star really is. So, and as a player, when I play ball, they say they don't listen to the media, but look at all the big men that's doing something. Wembanyama and Wembley and was it the Cooper flag coming out, the rookie. Where's Mobley's name being said? You know what I'm saying? Like, his name was always mentioned last year and the year before, but now with all these guys are coming out, his name is almost like an afterthought now. So I'm not saying he is, but he's not being dominant like these guys are being. And I think that, like with Mobley, if he just go 8 points per quarter, he'd get his 32. You know what I'm saying?
Like
if
Corey, he just that's real serious
easy math. Easy
that's
math.
Real serious, Corey.
8 points per quarter, he'd get his 32. But you know, then you get your rebounds.
Hey, six points per quarter, you get your 24. That'd be right. Awesome.
But my thing is just with this team, though. I didn't think losing Ty Jerome was going to be that big of a difference because our bench is horrible. And I know we got big names on there, but we don't have anyone that can consistently give us minutes and can score. And I think that's the biggest threat that I'm looking at with this team is that last year with Ty Jerome and those guys coming off the bench, they were getting rest. We're back 2 years ago where we was putting Donovan Mitchell and you know, Darius Garland back in the game earlier than we wanted, then they wouldn't even get rested. And the argument of should we ever trade Garland, that can be laid to rest. That answer is no. We have a much better team with him on this team always.
All right, Corey. That to me is one of the biggest questions facing the franchise. If you're going to have to tweak this thing, how are you going to try and tweak it? Yeah. And is it by trading one of these smaller ball dominant guards?
I don't think we're at that point though, Jeff.
I don't either, Tom.
I feel you.
No, I don't either.
You know that
the one point Corey made that I think is a real valid talking point.
Mm.
If you and I like some of the pieces on the bench, I do. But if you look to the bench, is there a guy who can come in and impact the game? Might it be Lonzo?
Sam Merrill?
Sam can come in and nail some threes for you. I wonder if Jalen Tyson can continue to develop and become that kind of a guy.
Because,
Tom, that's the guy that I think, because I do think you need to look at this bench and think, we need something. We need it now. Who is that guy?
Lonzo Ball can impact the game.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You know, two of the four things that I posted on Twitter the other day that bother me about this Cavs team right now. Not bother me, but...
Well, you're a concern.
Troublesome.
Something that you see that you think, how's this going to work?
Too much of a reliance on Donovan Mitchell to carry the load.
I agree.
To be the savior on a night-to-night basis, and they shoot way too many threes. They're trying to figure that out. They're trying to figure out that balance. I asked Kenny about it pregame the other night. 44 threes a night is way too many for this team because they don't shoot it that well, Jeff. They're not Golden State.
Yeah.
They're not even the Boston Celtics. They don't make a high enough percentage of those shots to validate them shooting 44 of those a night. I think the sweet spot is somewhere in this is the NBA now. This is what we have to come to the reality of. It's somewhere between 30 and 35 probably a game, as long as they're good ones, right?
So Andy and I talked about this the other day, Tom.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree with you more. In 3 points attempted per game, the Cavaliers lead the NBA. Do they lead the NBA?
Attempts they were as of going into last night, they were.
Yeah.
It was 44.3 or something like that.
Which is silly.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
And that's a concern. And I wonder how that plays out. So
yeah, and then in terms of make, they're about middle of the pack, if that, right?
Yes.
So and listen, you know, it was funny the other night when they played the Celtics, it was one of those throwback nights where they're honoring the 2009 team, right? They have those jerseys on, the court is like that. And I kept thinking to myself, you know what? This reminds me of 2009. It's almost like when LeBron was here and we kind of take Donovan Mitchell for granted. We're lucky again to have one of the 5 or 10 best players in the league.
He's really good.
On this team. I do. I feel like we almost accept that he's going to get 30 a night. I mean, and that doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen by accident. And then when he has an off night, which he was having on Sunday night, until the final 2 minutes when he hit back-to-back threes to kind of dig them out of a hole. You know, I don't want this team to get to that complacency point. I don't think Donovan will let them. If you saw the way that he played last night, and if you saw the way that he's played 95% of the time this season, he's been inspired. He knows that this team has enough talent to make a very serious run at a title, but it's going to be incumbent on, to Cool Ray's point before, getting this bench to develop, right? To getting guys you can count on to come off this bench. But it's got to be about Evan Mobley taking that game offensively to another level.
Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Hey, Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Wonderfully well.
What's up?
Tom, I hope the knee's repairing itself real well for you there.
Thank you. Yeah, doing better. Appreciate it.
Good. Hey, so, you know, I called way early in the season and I said, you know, this is the year the Cavs should just grab the ring and swing right into the NBA Finals. I mean, with the injuries to Indiana and Boston and the loss of players and injuries in Milwaukee, I mean, this is the year we should literally be walking into the finals with this roster. And we're not looking like that team that I was expecting. And I agree with the comments you're making. And I would even expand a little further. I don't understand why we're not really leveraging, I'll say, their big three, because I'm going to throw DeAndre Hunter in there as well. I don't even think it looks like there's an offensive set we have for Jared Allen, which, I mean, if you even feature him a little bit, that guy's a perennial double-double guy every night. So I'm with you. I share huge concerns because how many games have we seen this year? Fourth quarter, we're down or it's super tight, and then it becomes four guys walking down the court and looking at Donovan Mitchell. Now, trust me, there's nothing better than me and my boys sitting in Rocket and watching Donovan take over a game and we win and it's exciting, it's fantastic, and we love it. And he puts his 30 plus up and, you know, we're all high fiving and having a great night. But we all know come playoff time, that does not work very well. So I do share the concern that not just Donovan is taking over too much and still too much of a scoring leverage, you know, we're leveraging too much, but we're also not expanding the use of our big guys. And I really think Kenny's got to figure out how to get all three of them involved regularly throughout the game. And they just can't disappear in the fourth quarter like they've been doing this season.
Kevin, thank you very much.
Good points all. And we talked about this off the air. Jeff and I did briefly. DeAndre Hunter has shown some of that offensive bag that we didn't know that he had, right? I mean, you know.
And it was kind of restrained in Atlanta.
You know, very
because
much so.
Of some of the guys he was playing with.
Yeah, then,
with
Young. Then he comes here and he's the new guy and he's like trying to fit in and what have you. And
not going
to,
and coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Even though he screams start.
And as Jeff, as you pointed out at the top of the segment, you know, there's been so many moving parts here with the injuries, with not having a consistent lineup in there night after night. It's really hard for a coaching staff to figure out what they've got, which is why I will caution people, don't panic yet. It's December 2nd. If it was March 2nd, to be a very different conversation. There is still time to get all this fixed.
We'll be talking Cavs for the next 4, 5, 6, maybe 8 months, Tom.
Love it. Love it.
We'll see. And keep your fingers crossed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.